Hey, Geopat, Steph here. I'm still not producing any new episodes. We're done with Geopat, but I still have other projects that I'm working on, and I've got a new one that's starting that I can't wait to share with you. I'll tell you that information in just a second. But I just want to leave a message here as well to say, even though I'm not producing any more content, I'm here for you. If you have any questions about podcasting, life abroad, those kinds of things, go over to Steph Fuccio. .com/contact. That's STEPHFUCCIO.com/contact. All right, here's my new project. I hope you join me. I'm a solopreneur. I run my own business, and sometimes it gets a little bit lonely. I've been using meditations to deal with stress and just to have a break from my day that isn't just doing chores around the house. And they've really helped. But I couldn't find any meditations specifically addressing issues that would come up for a small business owner or a freelancer or any remote worker, really. Digital nomad or anything. So, you know, I decided to make one. And that's what Solo Work-Life Meditations is. Each episode will be less than 10 minutes and will revolve around a theme. The first theme will be uncertainty. Yeah, you probably just cringed. And that's why we need to meditate on this. There'll be a little bit of physical movement, a lot of mental movement, and some pretty chilled out music. We're also premiering the first episode on December 20th live on YouTube, Facebook, and LinkedIn. December 20th, 1 o'clock New York, 7 o'clock Copenhagen, where I am, and 11:30 in Delhi, and everywhere in between. I hope you can join us, but if you can't, don't worry. The meditations will be available on any podcast app, over on YouTube, and of course, on our Substack, soloworklifemeditations.substack.com. That's soloworklifemeditations.substack.com. That's a good place to follow us so you can get current information on any other live meditations, any announcements, and of course, when we publish new episodes, that's where we'll be announcing it as well. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoy Solo Work-Life Meditations, and I hope they help you with the mountain of stress that can feel a bit much during our somewhat isolated work life. All right, bye-bye. Welcome to another episode of Geopats. I'm Steph Fuccio, your host in this exploration on my computer to talk to expats and geopats around the world about different niche things that connect them to the places they're in. I'm an American expat in Copenhagen, Denmark. But today we're going to be listening to a conversation that I had with Lawrence Lin, a podcast industry expert over in China. Lawrence shares what the Chinese podcasting market is like currently, what it came from, what other similar mediums are taking all the attention away from it, and so much more. We discuss the current landscape and emphasize the growing popularity of podcasts in major cities like Shanghai that I used to live in and Beijing, where Lawrence lives now. We highlight the diverse audience consisting of educated professionals and individuals seeking engaged audio content. Oh my gosh, folks, we talk about not just audiobooks, audio dramas, chit chats, podcasts, and live streams, and more. Like, there's so many different kinds of audio experiences over in China, and we really dig into them. We do also touch on the monetization strategies in podcasting and in some of the other audio mediums, because you have to compare them because podcasting is relatively new everywhere. As with all things in the world, how things are in another country compared to your home country and mine is probably more similar than different, but it's those differences that make this conversation with Lawrence super interesting. Let's get to the conversation with Lawrence Lin about the podcasting space over in China.
In a country as populated as China, what is it, 1.6 billion?
Correct.
What's considered a good audience for a podcast?
So podcast listeners are centered around Shanghai and Beijing, first tier cities. So Shanghai, Beijing, Guangzhou, Shenzhen. Podcast listeners, the majority are people with a bachelor degree and above, kind of similar to the rest of the world, but in a larger degree. So the majority are white collar or people who work in offices, who work in finance, who work in technology industry and things like that. People with bachelor degrees or above tend to be people who studied abroad for college or worked abroad. So people with a sense of the West, or I may say, of the culture beyond and outside of China. Yeah.
So they've that's got a really global part to their existence.
Exactly, sure. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that for a long time has been a reason why podcast growth was quite slow. Because, we do have 1.6 billion people here in China. Mm-hmm. But for the majority of those people, the idea of what a podcast is, it's still very, very behind. So if you would go to a third tier or maybe even a second tier city, you find someone on the street and say, hey, do you listen to podcasts? They will ask you, what is a podcast? Mm-hmm. They listen to audiobooks. They listen to recorded radios. So for a very long time, when people ask us, what is a podcast? We say, it's like a radio show, but you do it on the phone. We've explained it that way for a very long time. And even today, yes, a listenership is growing, but it's still very much limited within the first and sort of second tier cities. If you go down where the majority of the populations are, they are still very much, in terms of digital audio, they're still consuming more audio drama, audiobooks. And there's plenty of studies that came out explaining why that might be a reason. And one of the reasons is because, audio tend to be consumed by people who doesn't have a lot of time. At least traders in China still listen to their commute. They might have a long commute. They have to listen to something. They are in a very high-pressured environment, so they're always eager to learn new things. Or maybe they're in a rapidly changing industry, so you want to listen to other people in your industry who are talking about new and upcoming trends. But if you were to go to a third or fourth tier city, the lifestyle is much more laid back. People are relaxed. Mm-hmm. There isn't a long commute. It's very close to home. So people tend to watch videos more in that sense and listen less to audios. And they really don't have much of an interest to learn about, so what's happening in, say, AI or 5G or this cutting edge technology. Not to say that they're not interested in this, but they might look at it with video. They might learn from other mediums apart from audio. Yeah, I don't make any podcasts, but so my previous role was at the head of external affairs at China Netcasting Services Association Audio Committee. It's a name for so basically what the association does and our committee, audio committee, does more specifically is we deal with the entire audio industry here in China, which podcast is part of, but we also cover things like traditional radio stations. We cover companies in the voice technology space. We also work with voiceover artists, podcasters, audio platforms, music platforms. So really we cover the entire spectrum that deals with digital audio more broadly. And so that's what my experience with the podcast.
Yeah. Sure. So is it like a regulatory part of the government for podcasting in China?
It's not a regulatory, so it is a non-governmental organization. So we don't deal with regulatory in the sense we don't create rules and regulations. But what we do is we help relay concerns that the government might have in regard to the industry. And we relay suggestions and voices from the industry back to the government. So sort of in the middle there. But we do, of course, in the process of working with industry leaders, we do come up with ideas in terms of regulatory actions that we can then propose for such things like industry standards to be established. Uh-huh. But we ourselves did not enforce or create regulations.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep.
It's funny because I left Shanghai in 2020, just before the first day of the year, actually, January 1st, 2020. And just before the pandemic, right? Before I left, I heard that there were a lot of podcasts, or the majority of podcasts, a few people told me, were actually behind a paywall, that they were very business oriented and you had to pay to listen to them. Is that true of the current landscape?
Paywall is definitely one of the monetization models here in the market. Mm-hmm. Although it's been tested and there are successes with companies setting up paywalls for, they usually don't do it for the entire season, they would do for, so they will have a show that's free, and for some episodes that they have a special guest that's really popular, or they have a special content that people really like, they will set up paywalls for independent episodes. So there are people who are setting up paywalls, but it's not like a widely practiced business behavior. So definitely that's something that's happened. So a popular podcast app here in China called Xiaoyuzhou, which is one of the few dedicated podcast apps I mentioned earlier, they set up something like that, I think, last year, and it has some success, especially with podcasters with pretty good following. So paywall is definitely one thing, one way of making money. The idea of branding, that's much more popular, especially in the US. Mm-hmm. It's less so here in China's market, especially with very local brands. Mm-hmm. So you see companies who pay advertisements for podcasts here in China usually are foreign companies, companies like Starbucks, company like Pfizer, companies like so foreign companies. So they basically their leadership probably was a fan of podcasts before they came to China. So they know the power of audio. They know that podcast really has a power to create strong brand recognition and brand loyalty. So they are more willing to pay for podcast advertisements. Mm-hmm. But majority of advertisers have yet understood the power of podcast as a advertisement medium. And that in part is because, one reason is because, right, they're used to a very rapid and high rate on investment ROI. Mm-hmm. But also it's because data collection with podcasts has been something that been created. It's not something that I would say we're still in a very early stage of that. It's still very difficult for podcasters to get a clear sense of and scope of exactly who listened, right? Their listenership and things like that. So when we talk to podcast networks that I mentioned, they tend better because they have the manpower and the capacity to do surveys, to talk to their listeners directly, and to create a sense of sort of a good package that you can give to advertisers. And so they tend to get more advertising. But for independent advertisers, because there yet isn't a dynamic ad insertion tech here in China, so if you're an independent podcast creator, you can't turn your listenership right away to advertisement money. So you still have to, if you are a podcast creator, go out there and find advertisers by yourself.
So that would require
a business a BD team, which is usually not possible for if you're just an independent creator.
I think you brought up something that's super important that I don't think a lot of folks in the West know about China, is the sheer speed which with things move in the space, in the market, in the country. Yeah. And I'm thinking, oh man, if I had somebody contact me and want to advertise on my podcast, it would be for like a week or two, or maybe even a month later. But if you're looking to sell something right now, podcasting traditionally isn't the place to do it quickly. Like a live stream might be, but a podcast itself that does a lot of editing and pre-production or post-production wouldn't be the place for that. So that's a really good point. For a fast moving market, that's not in a natural fit.
I know that the audio platforms are experimenting with, can we add shopping carts to our audio apps, just like in video? Because in that case, if I'm a podcaster, I'm talking and now I'm promoting a product, you can buy it right away from the app that you're listening to my podcast on. But those things have not yet taken off. And, some podcasters would, refer to their WeChat page, where then they will set up a shop and say, okay, go to our WeChat page, which, if you don't know, of course you know, but for people who don't know, it's like a social media. And so they will set up a page and they will divert the listeners there. Live audio chatting is a completely different category, different kind of people participating in it. So there are chat rooms, and when I say chat rooms, I'm not talking about like Twitter Space or like Clubhouse. It's not like business chats or like industry or like people come together talk about technologies. More chit chats and talk about just how's your day, and I think that that's very easy going chats.
But it's hard to switch platforms, though. It's hard to get people to switch platforms, and that's part of the problem. Yeah. And okay, so when I was in China, like a live streaming with the audience member paying like tips and buying things like on that was very popular. Okay, so I'm going to pop in here. And something I forgot to bring up specifically during this interview with Lawrence is an interview that I did with Hao Wu, documentarian, and he made the
documentary, People's Republic of Desire. Gosh, I want to say it was 2018, 2019. And I interviewed him with a guest co-host, Shannon Martin, back in 2019 about that documentary. And that's when I started to learn the most about the live, the really, really active live streaming market, basically, because it was such a moneymaker for some folks. Actually, I want to play you a little clip from that interview, and I will link that episode with Hal in the show notes as well. But I just wanted to give you a little bit of context and chronology about these voices in China that keep coming out in really interesting ways. So here's a little bit of what Hao said about why he did that documentary.
I started making this film in 2014. So that was before live streaming really took off. Very few people in first-tier cities have heard of live streaming. What intrigued me back then was because I had always wanted to make a film about the rich people in China. But the reality is that very few rich people want to be on camera, right? Want to be interviewed, being followed around by a camera. But then somebody was mentioning about this virtual live streaming world where the rich Tuhao and the poor Diao Si, they all party together. So that really intrigued me. And as soon as I did some research and found out that the Tuhao, the rich patrons, they really spend tons of money just like to show off virtually and anonymously. That to me is just like so fascinating. That to me in many ways represents what's happening in China today in my, you know, humble opinion. So that kind of like got me going. So I want to find out more about this world. For a while, I thought live streaming was just a fad. So I was rushing to finish the film. I was like, you know, I hope that live streaming is still there by the time I finish this film. So it kind of lucky for me that live streaming really exploded back in 2016. Even though right now it's not as trendy as before, I think that's also because it has become so mainstream in China.
Has anything replaced it in popularity?
Yeah, definitely short video, right? TikTok.
Oh, right.
TikTok, yeah. These are what everybody's talking about worldwide now.
It blows me away because at that time in China, TikTok, well, it still is. It's called Douyin, which I'm not saying correctly. And then it became really popular around the world. And I watched my own home country of the U.S. go crazy over TikTok. And so it was interesting to watch all of this happen. Okay, but let's go back to the 2020s in China with Lawrence.
Is that something that you see happening in the podcasting space?
So those chat rooms, they do exist, and they're okay. They don't make as much tipping as a video, of course. But yeah, so they do share the same kind of monetization model you mentioned with tipping and things like that. But yeah, but that's the completely different group
but
of people on platforms.
Podcasts.
Yeah, okay. Those are different. So podcast, not so much live content.
Oh, so nobody's taking those live broadcasts and turning them into a podcast afterwards. Sounds like
those live chats, they're just chit chats. So there really isn't content to it. So it wouldn't make sense for people to make it into a podcast and for people to listen to it. So there isn't like a topic or things like that. I mean, there are movements, especially right after Clubhouse's success, of just platforms trying to create things like that and get podcasters on there and create more high quality content. But for many reasons, you know, that's something that hasn't taken off yet. One or the other thing with advertisement is, you know, we are though still slowly seeing companies turning, beginning to see value in audio. It's something that's slow to happen, but it's happening. So, I mean, it didn't help that advertisement dollars has dropped dramatically because of the pandemic here in China.
Sure.
So that is also one of the problems. So you have so that's something that I always say to people, is that, you know, you have a medium that's that's uprising. You know, you get people are listening, more people are listening to podcasts, more people are creating podcasts, and more people are understanding what podcast is, because even before pandemic, it's still a very small community who knows what podcast is. So you have a time in the market where everything is growing, but in the same time, advertisement is dropping. So I think, you know, the industry got to a kind of an awkward point where the industry is growing, but the advertisement industry it's plummeting. So people, even though if brands are interested to create brand impressions, you know, they're much more careful in terms of where they're spending their advertisement dollars, which I think is true everywhere in the world nowadays. you know, whereas perhaps, I guess, 5 years ago, when the economy is good, they might think, okay, podcast is, it's cool, let's try it. And now they're sort of more conservative in terms of where they're putting their money.
Mm-hmm. And it will ebb and flow. Eventually, there'll be more experimentation. And then
I believe so.
Yeah. And then they'll realize how powerful podcast advertising is. And then there'll be a huge upswing. And then, yeah.
I believe so.
Podcast advertising in the West is also, I can't speak completely in the West. Let's just use the US because that is primarily where I'm, sure. A lot of my information comes from still, is still based on the archaic model of CPMs, like cost per 1,000 downloads, which for a network is okay, but for an independent podcast or a small business podcast as a brand, marketing tool is very tragic. It's a really bad way to judge how much to pay for podcast marketing or podcast advertising. So again, going back to the population question of with that many people in China, what is the advertising rate? Is it based on a certain number or is it more like based on something else?
I mean, unfortunately, I think people still look at it in the CPM model because, of course, that's the traditional model that everyone's used to, especially the decision makers who are actually paying the money to buy ads. I say unfortunately because I think, you mentioned that a little bit as well. I think the value of audio and power of audio, it cannot be measured by CPM or by how many people listen to it. I know many people agree in this industry. We always talk to people, and we've also tried as an association reach out to the ad community and then tell them, hey, look, you should try advertiser not just on a podcast but audio in general. Because we think, again, we go back to the video industry. People are used to, okay, there's like a million views and I'm going to pay for that. But your audio doesn't have a million listening, so it's not as valuable. But we say, look, you might only get 10,000 listens on this show, and that's a big number. And these 10,000 people, truly, right? They're going to love your product if their host tell them how good it is. And so there definitely is that value there. But unfortunately, it's still, I think, we're in the market education period. But again, I think the market is shifting towards that because, we see, nowadays that advertising based out of CPM aren't doing as well as they once were. It's not, they're not getting the results that this mass reach of audience is getting. And it's much more efficient to reach the audience that you want to reach. One of the trends we see is, we might be seeing more people who are making contents in lower tier cities because, people who, they don't listen to podcasts, maybe it's not because they don't like podcasts as a medium. It's because the contents that creators create in bigger cities just aren't, tailored to what they are experiencing on a day-to-day basis.
It's so we not do connected to seeing, their lives.
Exactly. So we are seeing, content creators, especially these days, we have people who are leaving big cities, going back home to their smaller cities or back even to their village. So they go back with the sense of what the podcast is, and they begin to make content based out of daily lives of where they're from. And we're beginning to see tractions and success of new creators creating new followers. So I think, the growth is as rapid as people expected it, especially given it is China. So people thought, if it takes off, it should take off overnight. But with audio, it's going to be a much longer build-up. But I think the value is going to be tremendous.
And we have the same problem in the U.S. with a lot of stuff being based out of New York and Los Angeles, but the majority of the country doesn't live in those two cities. But a lot of media and information and stories and movies, TV, radio, you name it, podcasting comes out of those two places. And I think that's part of why the independent scene is so strong there, is because a lot of people, it doesn't connect with their daily life.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think also another change last year is that the government's recognizing podcasts as an industry. So before, podcast was, it wasn't defined. It wasn't. I mean, today I don't think there is a unified definition of what a podcast is, not yet. But at least from a governmental perspective, podcast is being recognized for the first time as being a standalone industry. And that's going to create some changes, I believe, as well.
My big question now is, a lot of our listeners are, well, the medium of the podcast is English. So, of course, I need to ask you, if folks want to find out more about the podcasting industry in China in English, how do they do that? Are there any places where people are talking or writing about this?
Most of them are in Chinese. So you know, one of the things I've been doing, and one of the reasons why I talked to, you know, why I got connected to Norm, was because, you know, I've always actively, you know, went out there to try to connect with the English speaking community about, you know, what is happening here in the Chinese in Chinese market. So there isn't a lot going on. So it's tough. It's really a tough question. I mean, if you were to do a Google search about podcasting in China, you do get some information. A lot of the information put out there tend to be from investment companies and market research entities. Mm-hmm. And their take and their experience with podcasts is very much, you know, down to earth with what's happening. So a lot of actually a lot of podcasters and networks I speak to in China, you know, they sort of disagree with what the what research entities put out there. So unfortunately there isn't much places where they can get good information on where podcast is headed, but hopefully we will be able to put out more of that information moving forward.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, a lot of people ask, because I did live in China for a few years, a lot of people ask, you know, what the market is like. There's definitely a thirst for information about what's happening. And yeah, I think a lot of people see China as the fast-moving, innovative place that it is, and they want to know what's there so they can experiment with some of the things you all are doing. Last question, Lawrence.
So for sure.
You mentioned early on that you don't have a podcast yet. What is the yet? Are you going to start one soon?
So right now, I've moved to the Web3 space, as a lot of people are. I'm in the middle of creating a podcast, but more on the Web3, more in the Web3 space. So the podcast that I'm making should be coming out soon, and it's just going to be like a news format. So it won't be anything fancy, but we'll see where it goes.
Oh, that's exciting. Yay. If the listeners want to reach out and connect with you, where should they, is there anywhere online that you would like to give them where they can contact you?
Sure. LinkedIn would be the fastest way. So I'm always on there. So if they want to reach out to me via LinkedIn, they can find me, Lawrence Lin, I believe. Yeah, I'm always there. So that's probably the fastest way to reach me.